Hello there, everybody, and welcome back to the Weekly POV. This is Josh, and I am so glad to be here with you again. We have a lot to cover on today's show. But the first thing I want to get into is something that happened a week ago as I'm recording here. And, you know, I think this falls under the TV and movie news because we watch football on TV. And, you know, I'm a big football fan, and I, you know, of course, what happened a week ago with Damar Hamlin was very shocking to a lot of people. I don't normally watch Monday Night Football, but in this, if it's not the Steelers, because, you know, I'm a diehard Pittsburgh fan, Steelers fan. But I've been keeping up with the Bills in the past couple seasons, and, you know, their quarterback happens to be Josh Allen, and my first and middle name is Josh Allen, and he happens to wear the number 17, and that's also my birth date, January 17th. So, you know, there, if I were to pick a second favorite team, it would be the Bills. But so I just happened to be sitting down watching the game, and this very scary thing happens in that game with Damar Hamlin, and he's making this tackle, and, you know, he sort of gets, it didn't look like a very violent hit or anything like that. And I didn't know if the impact was to the head or to the chest, but he stands up. And just a second later, he like collapses backwards, and it was a very scary sight. I mean, it just gave me this horrible feeling, and it was unlike, you know, anything I had seen in football. And I know in football, we kind of expect injuries and everything, but I don't think we expect this to happen where there's a cardiac arrest incident. And, you know, I get trained in cardiac arrest every year as a cross country coach. So it's something that's close to me, and I've even, you know, passed out and fainted a couple times in my life, and it's not cardiac arrest, but it's scary. So that it kind of made me feel that scary, like death-like feeling in all over again. And so it was kind of personal for me and for a lot of people, and definitely a scary moment, but there's good news that's coming out of this situation. I think there's a lot of great news, you know, and there might be people who want to talk about the negatives, but you know, I'd like to talk about the positives about this situation, that, you know, everybody rallied behind this guy. I mean, you know, the nation kind of got behind him. It's sad that it takes something like this for a nation to rally behind something and, you know, be together on something. But I felt like there were so many people that were just lifting him up in prayer, praying on live television. This really put on display the power of prayer. From my point of view, I'm a believer in that. You might not be, and I certainly accept and embrace that point of view. But for me, it was something that, you know, was really uplifting. And, you know, there might be some people, I've even heard people out there saying, why are we celebrating this person as a hero and not, you know, officers of the law who give up their lives and everything. And I think we should celebrate all heroes when we see the opportunity. And, you know, for a lot of people, the football players are their heroes, and we watch them every week, and we, you know, we don't really realize all the time, you know, the potential sacrifice they're making by being on the field. And yeah, they're getting paid a lot of money and they're entertaining and everything, but they really are putting their bodies on the line. So this was, you know, a big thing for a lot of people, and I'm glad it turned out the way it did and that he is doing well. Want to share here a tweet sent out by the Buffalo Bills. So let's take a look at that. So they tweeted this a few hours ago. We are thrilled and proud to share that Damar Hamlin has been released from the hospital and returned to Buffalo. He is doing well, and this is the next stage of his recovery from the UC Medical Center. You know, he was at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center, where they had an excellent trauma unit. And, you know, obviously the people that were on the field, the, you know, the medical professionals and everything did a great job of quickly administering CPR, but, you know, it was scary. It's something you don't normally see. And so I'm just so glad to be seeing this good news about him. You know, he was able to FaceTime the team the other day and cheered them on Sunday when they played against the Patriots, and it was just crazy how the Bills had the first play of the game. It was a you know, a kickoff return for a touchdown, just incredible stuff. So I just wanted to share that very uplifting story with you guys off of the top here. But I do want to also get into our poll that happened on our Twitter page. Twitter is a great place to follow from a certain point of view. You know, a lot of activity happens on Twitter. And this poll was about The Way of Water. I reviewed this this movie last week, but I wanted to hear what you guys thought of it. And we only had 25 votes, but I thank you for each and every one of those votes very much. So just keep that in mind when we're looking at the results here. But 68% of you felt that it was a masterpiece. 24% felt that it was a solid sequel. And only 4% thought it was okay, but not worth the wait, or they need to stop making these. And, you know, when we go ahead and look at the box office report this week, I think it'll, you know, and James Cameron even mentioned recently that he's going to go forward with more movies because of how well received this has been. But before we get into that, I do want to give you the weekly recommendation from the weekly POV, and this is going to be The Pale Blue Eye. I have a little bit of bias here because this film was filmed, you know, in my area in Western Pennsylvania, and we don't see a lot of that in my area. So this was big for me, and this was exciting for me, and it was a little more than a year ago. I actually went and visited the set at Westminster College, which stands in for West Point in this movie. And so that was very exciting. Here's an image actually of Westminster College that it stands in for West Point in the movie. And I got to be there and walk the grounds, you know, when they had it set up for filming and everything like that. So that was cool. I'm just a lover of the film process and behind the scenes stuff and how they make movies. So it was really cool for me to be there. And at the end of this YouTube video, you'll be able to check out the video I put on YouTube. You know, I think it was a little over a year ago when I visited the set, and you can check that out. So that'll be attached to the end of this video. Another area where they filmed that's close to me actually was in McConnell's Mill Park. And I do believe this scene and some other scenes were shot there. And there were even some scenes filmed at Moraine State Park, which is also in Western PA, which I've visited before. So it was really cool seeing these scenes come to life in places where I had visited. You know, it's always cool to see that. Talking about the movie overall, it stars Christian Bale and Harry Melling, Gillian Anderson, and Robert Duvall plays a small role in the movie as well. Written and directed by Scott Cooper, based off of the novel of the same name, I believe, The Pale Blue Eye. And it is on Netflix now, so you can check it out on Netflix. And overall, I really enjoyed this movie. It's a nice, you know, kind of murder mystery type of thing if you're into those, but it also has this very dark, like, macabre feel to it. And you know, a lot of the scenes are in the dark and there's fog and it's creepy. And, you know, it's got that whole Edgar Allan Poe vibe because he happens to be a character in this movie played by Harry Melling, which I was very surprised by because he also played Dudley in the Harry Potter series. And I didn't even I couldn't even recognize him. He looks so different in this movie. But, you know, my wife Brittany actually told me that was who he was. So I thought he did a nice job as Edgar Allan Poe, you know, this young poet, up and coming poet who's interested in these murders and everything that are taking place. So it really makes sense. I know this is a, you know, a fictional story based on a non-fictional person. But that was cool to see what might have inspired him to write his poetry, if you're familiar with Edgar Allan Poe. So I do recommend checking this one out. Is it going to like blow you away and be the best movie you've ever seen? No, but if you're anywhere from the area, I definitely recommend it. And I recommend it for anybody. I mean, Christian Bale gives a great performance as usual. And I just enjoyed it. It's one of those movies too, that begs a second viewing because, you know, just right when you think you have everything figured out, there's kind of this additional plot twist and it, you know, it encourages a second viewing from a different lens as well. So that is The Pale Blue Eye on Netflix. Okay, so let's head into the news for this week. First of all, we have those box office results, as always. Megan, spelled M3GAN, exceeded expectations and pulled in $30.2 million over the weekend domestically. And, you know, I know there's a large audience for horror movies. I was not interested in seeing this one. Maybe I'll watch it at home in broad daylight. But yeah, it did well. Good for that movie. And The Way of Water, though, continued its dominance at the box office with another number one weekend. It took in $45 million domestically, so its domestic total is now $516 million, and worldwide it is over $1.7 billion, inching closer to $2 billion. If it gets over that, then it would beat Spider-Man No Way Home as the number one movie of 2022. So let's talk about Disney Plus. Disney Plus, you know, has raised its price, but it's also adding another feature. If you are an IMAX fan, you will now be able to listen to IMAX signature sound. So Disney, IMAX, and DTS announced that they would be bringing IMAX signature sound by DTS to select films on the streaming service. This is coming from, again, comingsoon.net, where I usually find my movie and TV news. So users with certain devices will be able to have IMAX exclusive sound and aspect ratio, which was already available. A lot of the Marvel movies have the IMAX enhanced versions on Disney Plus, which was nice to watch if you're a fan of IMAX and just a fan of seeing what the director intended to be on screen. You know, and you're seeing more of the picture, you know, which is always good. You're seeing, you know, so I've enjoyed the IMAX enhanced, but now there's an added sound element to that. If you have certain certified IMAX enhanced televisions or AV receivers from Denon and JBL and others, you can enjoy this feature soon. So that is Disney Plus. And let's give an update on Jeremy Renner here next. He was involved in, if you haven't heard, I'm sure you have, but he was involved in a snow plowing accident, and found himself in the ICU. And, you know, he was trying to plow snow to get people out of his driveway and his neighbor's driveway. I guess there was a really large amount of snowfall, but the vehicle that he was using ended up coming towards him and other people and tried to stop it, got stuck underneath it from what I've heard. So he had some significant injuries, underwent surgery, but he posted, I believe, to his Instagram here, thanking the renowned medical ICU team for beginning this journey, hopefully to his recovery. So, you know, more thoughts and prayers to go out to Jeremy Renner in a speedy recovery, hopefully. And continuing in some Marvel actor news, we have Dave Bautista, who spoke about his role as Drax and maybe not wanting that to be his ultimate legacy. He did confirm that Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 will be the final time he plays Drax. And, you know, he got into some more detail about that. He says, "I'm so grateful for Drax. I love him, but there's a relief that it's over. It wasn't all pleasant." He said it was hard playing that role. The makeup process was beating him down, and he just doesn't know if he wants Drax to be his legacy. It's a silly performance, he says, and he wants to do more dramatic stuff. So when I think about that, what comes to mind for me is Blade Runner 2049, I think is the number. and his performance in that was brief, but it was more dramatic. It definitely had some nuance to it. And, you know, even though his physical presence was felt in that scene, you know, I'm cool with it. I'm behind him, you know, playing a more dramatic role and exploring that side of his acting chops. And I think he definitely has the ability to do that. So moving on, we're going to talk about Black Panther, continuing in Marvel. Wakanda Forever announced its Disney Plus release date, and it will be coming out on February 1st on Disney Plus. You'll probably see, you know, speaking of the IMAX enhanced, I'm sure it'll be an IMAX enhanced. And this movie was another successful one this year. It took in more than $820 million during its theatrical run. I liked it. I didn't love it. The whole underwater culture subplot kind of felt too much like Avatar 2 to me. So I didn't love that aspect of it, but I do feel like they handled the Chad Boswick situation really well. And Shuri and her character's journey and her internal struggles, I thought those were the best aspects of the movie. So I'm excited to watching it. I'm excited to watch it again. And maybe I'll appreciate it a bit more the second time. Moving on, we're going to talk about House of the Dragon Season 2. I thought the first season was just phenomenal. It was really great stepping back into Game of Thrones and getting that kind of Game of Thrones Season 1 or the first few seasons like feel to this show, where it was more about performances and the story and all those, and it was kind of a slow burn type of thing and lots of moving parts, but there was some good Game of Thrones action thrown in there too. But they're currently writing the finale to Season 2. According to Sarah Hess, who spoke to Variety, she is an executive producer and writer on the series. She says that the Blood and Cheese storyline will end up in the series. She said it won't disappoint. And I haven't read Fire and Blood yet. And this is a revenge plot against Queen Alicent that happens, you know, after the death of Prince Daemon and Queen Rhaenyra's son, Lucerys. So, and I might be mispronouncing that. I can't. There were a lot of character names in the show, but if you are a Game of Thrones, George R. R. Martin fan, Fire and Blood fan, be looking forward to that. So Season 2, they're working on the finale script, and you know, hopefully that'll be in production soon. So that wraps up the news for this week, and I want to get into my review of The Bad Batch episodes 1 and 2. So this was Spoils of War and Ruins of War, and I'm glad they put these two episodes out at the same time, because it really felt like one whole episode. I want to preface this by saying I'm not a huge Bad Batch fan by any means. You know, I loved Clone Wars, I loved Rebels. Bad Batch I like and I enjoy, but you know, it's not up there for me, but I will watch this and hopefully enjoy it. I did like these first two episodes and the arc of these episodes. It was a very fun heist mission that had some good action in it. Takes place on Count Dooku's home planet, actually, which was cool. So basically they're moving out all of, you know, Count Dooku's credits and everything and money. It's kind of this whole heist mission, which was cool to see. But you know, it really gets into this deeper theme of the value of money versus happiness. You know, Omega is kind of gets lost in that whole thing, and she's doing all she can to prove herself and to get the credits or the form of money that they're going after. Basically this treasure, but she, you know, kind of gets, her character gets like lost in that. It's clear in these episodes that Omega has led to problems for the Bad Batch, and, you know, they even admit as much, but they, you know, one of the characters, I forget which one, said he would have made that choice. It was still the right choice. But there's others in the galaxy that they need to help as well. So, of course, Omega overhears some of this and is really trying to prove her worth to the Bad Batch. And, you know, so it was a good couple episodes for as far as that goes. It was also interesting that you have this old man who's a native of this planet trying to help out. I was not sure of his intentions in the beginning and in which way he would kind of go on that. So that was cool to see that. And we get some canon mentions again of Count Dooku, of course, his home planet. And Tarkin is mentioned at the end of the episode, where we kind of have this in the last shot, we have this Imperial officer shooting a trooper who was basically refusing to falsify a report about seeing Clone Troop 99, about seeing the Bad Batch. So it definitely got into like darker territory and everything, and was interesting. So I'm looking forward to seeing what's next on The Bad Batch. And of course, that's on Disney Plus on Wednesdays. Okay. But that pretty much wraps up the show for this week. What did you think of The Bad Batch? First two episodes, Spoils of War and Ruins of War. What did you think about The Pale Blue Eye if you watched it, or the news? Let me know. On YouTube, you can find me From a Certain Point of View. Please make sure to subscribe to the channel. On Facebook, it is From a Certain Point of View. You can find us on Twitter at Certain POV Pod. And reach out to me in email, certainpovpod@gmail.com, or you can ask me any questions you have. Ask me anything, or, you know, show topics or ideas. If you want to be a guest on the show, I'm definitely open to that. So reach out to me via YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, email. I'm also part, this podcast is part of the Red 5 Network. You can find them at red5network.com and on Twitter at Red 5 Network. Thank you so much for tuning in once again this week. And I can't wait until the next one. Until then, everything I said today was true. From a certain point of view.